brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Results Matter Radio. I am Elizabeth Gordon, and Dana Barrett is with me to produce today's show. Hey, Dana.
Good morning.
And we are focusing on sustainability today, sustainability in Georgia and the Southeast, with two great guests in the studio with us, Madeline Ramey, who's the executive director of EarthShare of Georgia, and Beth Bond, who is the curator of Sustainable News Southeast Green, which is the largest green business directory in the Southeast. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
Madeline, let's start with you. Tell us about EarthShare of Georgia.
EarthShare of Georgia is a nonprofit organization that helps connect employers and their employees to environmental organizations throughout Georgia.
Okay. And now this term sustainability, we were talking before the show, I think we should probably define some of these terms, because as being green, being earth friendly has become more trendy and popular in the business community, there seems like there's also some confusion. Beth, why don't you define sustainability for us, and both of you kind of talk a little bit about the terminology that we hear?
Well, we were having a very interesting conversation before we came online about what sustainability is. And I'm going to start with the classic definition. There was a gentleman who wrote a book, and he defines sustainability as people, profit, planet. So that's sort of what the old sort of sustainability guard considers it. One of the interesting things is that has morphed as more and more people have adopted it and more people try to explain what it means to them. And there's a lot of companies that will focus on the people side but leave out the profit and the planet side. So when we're talking about sustainability from a true sort of where the origins came from, it is this nexus and this intersection of people, profit, and planet. So we're taking care of our people, we're definitely taking care of our business, and we're also taking care of the planet. And I think one of the challenges is when companies try to leave the planet out of the conversation, then it becomes really confusing trying to overemphasize the people. And clearly people are really, you know, key to it, but it has to be all three. It can't be just one or the other. And the other challenge is sometimes the environmental side gets, you know, accused of leaving the people out of the conversation. So we really, you know, try continually in the community to make sure all three of those are part of the conversation.
I think it's really interesting. I'm just jumping in because the term sustainable, like as a word in the dictionary, of course, doesn't mean people, planet, and profit, right? It's
right.
Just a word. And we always sort of take over these words and give them our own meanings, right, for whatever's popular at the moment. But if you're not up on all of that and you're just, you know, watching a news program where they're talking about something being sustainable. I mean, you know, to my mind, the word actually sort of just means maintainable, repeatable. You know, and so it can really apply so many different ways. And I think that's part of the problem and part of the confusion, because of course everyone isn't coming out of the green space or the environmental space or the quote unquote sustainable space, and so they don't know what that background is.
Right.
Well, I would just say if you take it to its basic meaning, like you suggest, Dana, I mean, it really has to do with maintaining and keeping things that last. So
right.
In a society where people waste a lot and throw away a lot, the sustainable movement is all about thinking before you buy, recycling, reusing, and also very much connecting to the environment
right.
and taking care of our natural resources.
Right, and not to jump off of what you guys do, because obviously I don't want to take over Elizabeth's show here, but but it is interesting also just that if you could think like that in general terms, in your life practice, when you think about how you treat your employees, for example, that you want to maintain employees, therefore you should treat them in such a way that they will want to remain your employees.
Exactly.
And the same goes for your customers and your family members, and I mean, you know, and the way you treat your household and all of that. So it is kind of interesting that it could be a broader term and probably should be.
Well, and it's certainly used that way, but going back to sort of, you know, the employees, to treating your employees, that's where sustainability, I think, gets pretty interesting, because then you're talking about the working environment, too. It's not just how you treat them, you know, is your building causing your employees asthma because the air quality is so bad?
Sure.
Or are you making sure that your company is being sustainable long-term financially because – you know, you're using too much energy and that's really eating away your profits. So, I mean, I think sustainability is broader, but it's also important to remember the integrity of the way it was used, because then it becomes really confusing and diluted.
So when you're talking to businesses about sustainability, how do you help them see those linkages?
Well, through EarthShare of Georgia, our work is basically managing employee giving campaigns for our member groups, our environmental member groups we support, so that employees can donate through their paycheck to help support these groups. And we provide quarterly allocations to actually 70 environmental groups, 40 of those in Georgia. So when we talk to employees, we have to meet them where they are. We don't really preach, and we tend to reach an audience that's not typically served by our environmental member groups. So we talk about things like personal health and well-being, and ask if anyone has family members with asthma, has anyone developed any waterborne illnesses or other types of illnesses that are clearly related to the environment. And I think we're learning about that more and more. There's more and more research about the connections. People, I think, can more easily connect to things like having healthy food. I think the food movement has grown tremendously recently in Georgia, thanks to groups like Georgia Organics and others. And people really are responding to that and seeing the difference when they eat locally grown food or healthy, you know, organic food.
That's great. And from a raising awareness standpoint, I guess, Beth, as you're covering sustainability in the news, what are the trends that you're seeing and observing?
Well, and I just want to clarify that Southeast Green is we do have the largest online green directory, but we also cover news from Florida to Texas to Virginia, Maryland. And we cover a lot of news in Atlanta because we're based here in Atlanta. But the trends we're seeing is a big trend towards shifting the conversation away from confusing terminology, which we just spent a lot of time, and talking about health. And I think a really great example to feed back into Madeline's conversation is what Georgia Organics did this year, which was Farm RX was their theme. And it was all about the connection of food being all about your health, and that if you connect food and health together and you realize that there was a natural prescription in place with all the food we were provided through the planet, that we don't necessarily need pharmaceuticals as much as we do. And so I love that idea of connecting the health. And it was really, really encouraging and exciting, actually. They had Dr. Sanjay Gupta there talking about it, standing up in front of 1,200 people, saying, I want to be part of your movement. And they had Kaiser Permanente doctors flown in from the West Coast talking about their farm-to-market shopping that they have once a week at their hospitals and what they're doing to encourage their staff to be healthier. And if you think about it, it sort of makes sense. In some ways, it's like, why didn't we start the conversation there to begin with?
Exactly.
Because, you know, health is such a critical, you know, core essential thing for all of us. And it's a direct reflection of what we're doing in the environment, too. You know, so it is really exciting to see sort of that shift in conversation.
Absolutely. I like that. Mother Earth, healthcare
exactly.
provider.
Your real pharmaceutical company.
Yeah. And food is a very complex issue. I mean, I know Georgia Organics is working to get, you know, more farms in Georgia. I mean, we really don't have enough land right now dedicated to actually grow healthy food. But I just want to extend that, because we support so many other groups, too, that are helping to support healthy lives. I mean, Chattahoochee Riverkeeper, for example, that's protecting the Chattahoochee River and its watershed, which is the smallest watershed nationwide upon which such a large urban population depends. It's pretty amazing. And it starts as a little stream just north of Helen and goes all the way down to the Apalachicola Bay. And it's really important that have healthy food, but also think about our water and our clean air and getting outside.
Well, and that the water issue is so interconnected, right?
I mean, yes, you really can't separate the issues.
You can't have clean water and expect to have clean food from your farms, right?
I mean, yes, because you clean the
water.
Well, and it also
water crops,
Right.
Well, and the other thing is that, you know, if you can't get out in the air to work that farm, you know, because there's so much pollution and,
yep,
and asthma. And, of course, Atlanta has been ranked in the top 10 for air pollution for years now.
Yes.
And although there's a lot of great work that's happening, and I was actually out at the airport yesterday covering an event where they've replaced all their diesel baggage loaders at Delta with electric.
So, wow.
Yeah, it was really, yeah, okay,
that's
so
exciting.
I'm such a
There's
geek,
There's some
right?
great things that are happening, and I'd like to say that a lot of the nonprofits in Georgia play a key part in that, you know. And I'm even excited about things like the Beltline, because that's getting people outdoors, it's connecting neighborhoods, it's encouraging people to think about, gee, I can just walk to this restaurant, or I can just
right.
walk to this market. And so it's changing our habits and our thoughts about the environment.
And as the Beltline has been developing, there's more and more excitement happening. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the critical stories about the Beltline is it took one guy with a thesis, and he is going to change the entire way that
yes.
downtown Atlanta is
going
to live.
Ryan Gravel.
And people are really, really excited. I mean, you know, you heard about it, but now that you can actually see the parks and you can walk almost the entire east side of the trail now, and they have tours and they have art, and there's discussion about putting food gardens on along mm-hmm. the Beltline. So, I mean, it is really an amazing, once again, connecting. And I think that's yeah. another part of sustainability is connection, connection, connection.
Now, in terms of a business, what makes incorporating the sustainable part of a company into the business model attractive and important for the organizations?
Well, I'll just chime in real quickly. I mean, Beth mentioned it earlier, people, planet, profit. I think those three, you know, words are key because sustainability, once you implement some sustainability goals in your company, you're supporting your employees, you're making them happier, they're going to work harder, you're going to be attractive to other businesses, and it'll actually enable growth in your company. And I think it's very easy to overlook that, I think. But I think, again, it's the connection of the three that's so important. You might want to say more about that.
Well, I think the other thing that, and Madeline's, you know, spot on. So, but the other thing that I think is really important is we, and Madeline brought this up earlier, we live in a wasteful society. And we think in companies, well, we've got bean counters and they're making sure that there's not a lot of waste. But there are things that we have in our business ledgers that we just accept that we cannot change. For instance, energy usage, which is absolutely not true. We're seeing companies through the Atlanta Better Buildings Challenge save anywhere from 20% to 30% on their electric bills by making they haven't even done sort of the deep, heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing sort of what we would call the low-hanging fruit, which is replacing light bulbs and thinking about how you're using your electricity. When you can save 20% or 30% of your business electric bill, that's
huge. Significant.
I mean, it
yeah.
could be an employee. It could be a couple of employees. So, I mean, I think that we take things for granted in regards to waste. Another great thing is materials recovery. City of Atlanta is doing a lot of it. They've got a zero waste zone downtown, and they're trying to expand it to make it the City of Atlanta would be zero waste by 2020, which would mean they would be diverting 90% of the materials they're putting into the landfill now and recycling all of it. And it could be from composting to mm-hmm. grease recycling to just sort of recycling, you know, the stuff that we think about throwing away. 80% of what we throw away, whether you're in a business or in a home, is recyclable. And if you think about that, then, you know, that we're just filling into landfills, then I think it becomes a very compelling sort of business argument. I don't have to give you numbers, and I'm from Alabama, so I don't do math. So,
nice.
I'm not great at math either, but I will just say, just to dovetail on what Beth is saying about recycling, I mentioned before the interview that frequently companies want to start with recycling. There is nothing wrong with doing that. I want to emphasize that. That is actually a great way to get your employees thinking about sustainability and the environment. I just want to make sure that they don't leave it at that, because there's so much more to do, like Beth is suggesting, that, you know, there's ways to save energy beyond recycling, and there's ways to get your employees involved in the environment.
It is true, I think, that there's a mindset that sometimes recycling is just a good kickoff point. I know
yeah.
personally for me, the idea of putting something in the recycling bin versus in the trash, it just keeps environmentalism sort of top of mind.
Exactly.
And I remember reading many years ago, I think it was Van Jones's book about the green collar economy, and there was something in there. I think it was in that book, and I don't really remember, but I think it was about talking about washing your clothes in cold water or something, and it had to do with the fact that it actually doesn't make any difference if you wash them in hot. They don't get mm-hmm. cleaner. And I started doing that, and it does save money on your electric bill, and it's like a little thing that if everybody just started doing things like that, just those little things, those low-hanging fruit things, mm-hmm. you know, it just, and that recycling, I think, does kind of keep it all top of mind.
Right. But there's, and we've been talking about recycling and energy, but I want to talk about some other things that may be right. So thinking about how much paper you use, you know, double side copies, and even sort of going to, quote unquote, all they've been trying for a while, a paperless society. But we're really sort of at that point where we can implement those things. I mean, if we really think about how much paper we needlessly use. And of course, you know, I will give the disclaimer that I am anti-paper because I can get it all online. I mean, that's the truth. You know, you go to a trade show and you think about all that paper they hand out at a trade show. And the truth is I'd rather have your business card with your website address, because if I want to go and get it, I have it and I can reach it easily. And then I'm not lugging this huge bag that weighs.
And can you please go have that conversation with the healthcare industry? Oh my God.
A lot
God.
Of industries. Really.
So I've been dealing with some minor healthcare issues as I hold up my hand in a cast here on the radio. And like the hand doctor who all P.S. knows I can't write with my right hand, 8 pages of paper and multiple repeats of the same information over and over and over again. And this is for, and I've had a couple other health things this year. I can't even talk to you about the amount of paper that has gone along with every one of mm-hmm. these healthcare practices, not to mention how much paper they send to you.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Well, I will have to say some doctor's offices are encouraging you to fill out the information online. So I think there's the beginning of that. It just hasn't hit them yet.
Wow. I mean.
And I think, you know, there are groups that are working on trying to educate businesses. It's just so overwhelming
yeah.
that there's just so much to do.
And
but
the
I
system
think,
changing. I mean,
yes,
the
I hospitals. Think there'll be some changes in the near future with
and,
all of that.
And it's a journey. It's, you know, it's not a destination. And,
yeah.
you know, you take your first step with recycling. You take your second step with saving. You know, turning off the lights when you leave the room. You take the third step of maybe I don't need 400 copies of this piece of paper.
Right.
But there's other thing too, like, you know, when you're going to be remodeling your office, what kind of materials are you going to be using? Are you going to be using paint that makes everybody sick for 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's and a lot of people probably have heard about LEED and certifications of buildings and such like that. But there's, you know, beyond getting the sort of the political conversation about cost and things like that in regards to getting a certification, there are plenty of things you can do if you're remodeling your office that will make your employees healthier and more productive, that will be actually cost efficient, because you will reduce your sick days. And most of the time now, the products are at parity. You know, like you can choose between a low VOC paint and a regular paint, and the cost difference is negotiable. So, you know, there's lots of steps. And I love to tell this story because my family is politically divided, and my sister is on the opposite fence from me, side of the fence, and I didn't say anything to her. I just, you know, I would talk about composting and this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden, they've dug up a third of their backyard, and she's gone to the county extension office and taking a composting class, and now they're gardening every single season. I mean, it was like amazing without me saying anything. So I think that people think, well, I can't make a change, but I'm like, just the small act of doing two or three things can really influence people beyond what you would think. And I can promise you, I'm not gardening in my house, so I'm really an admiration of her. But it's a family event, you know. They're recycling their newspapers by using it to put down. I was just stunned.
That's
like
fantastic.
How over the top they went.
That so. Is great news. And Beth brings up something that it is very hard to change behavior, and just those small steps make a big difference. I was going to actually mention too the importance of volunteering. That is one way that we connect with businesses. We try to offer them kind of a 3 or 4 step plan that will eventually lead to an employee giving campaign. But once employees get out there in the environment, they get outdoors, maybe they do a gardening project, maybe they help clean up a stream, maybe they plant some trees, they're going to be a lot more interested in finding out what's really involved in the environment and why it's important to take care of it.
So Earth Day was enacted in 1970.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's kind of grown in popularity over the years. What did you see observed this year in terms of people jumping on the bandwagon and actually doing environmentally friendly stuff.
Okay, well, I'll just have to say, because EarthShare of Georgia organizes three signature events every year for Earth Day. And because we are really a nonprofit umbrella organization for a lot of environmental groups, many years ago, there was some kind of agreement before I came to try to encourage people to come to our events and not do so many individual ones. I know there are still tons of things going on everywhere, but I would say our niche is really in trying to bring together the business community with the environment. So it's a little different than some of the events.
Well, I always tell people that EarthShare owns Earth Day, and they have the best party. It's
so much fun.
So and it's smart because, I mean, when you're supporting 70 nonprofits, think about if every one of those nonprofits tried to do an event, the message would become diluted over. That being said, though, I sort of have gone from it's Earth Day to Earth Week, Earth Month. Earth Season.
Yeah, it's Earth Season.
Sort of starts mid-March, and
right.
We're sort of at the tail end of it now.
Exactly.
We've got maybe another week of it to go as people try to have their messaging. But, you know, it's the same thing that what I say with Mother's Day. We're not a big Mother's Day family because every day is Mother's Day in my family because my mom's so awesome. But every day is Earth Day, and so
exactly. You know, what other planet are you waking up on?
Exactly. And somebody sent me the funniest cartoon, and I wish I could do it justice, but it was basically saying, "Yo, this is it. You know, we only get one shot at the planet." So, you know, I think it's important to have Earth Day because it reminds us, I don't want to say there's so much work because I don't want people to be overwhelmed by it, but there's so many actions that we can take every day, and you take one and two, and, you know, like I said earlier before we got on air, I'm not fit for regular society anymore because I've gone so, who knew, you know, that you would be so, you know, green or sustainable or environmental, whatever term you choose, that you look at where you were 5 years ago and what you're doing now, or 10 years or however long you're doing it, and like, wow, mm-hmm. what an amazing change.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, once you start seeing that holistic view, it's impossible to think of living any other way.
Right.
I would imagine. Now, Madeline, who are some of the businesses and the companies that participate in the workplace giving campaigns?
We have Kaiser Permanente. I'll start with them because they were the first private sector campaign actually nationwide through the EarthShare network. They are really our biggest partner. I love what they do. I love their messaging. I love the fact that they connect the health to the environment, and it's just a no-brainer for them. We also have a campaign with Cox Enterprises, Acuity Brands, Accenture, Arnold Golden Gregory. I'm thinking of the A's that are right here, going through the alphabet here. We also partner. We have about 70 campaign partners in the private and public sector. All of the federal employees donate through what's called the Combined Federal Campaign. State employees can donate. City of Atlanta employees can donate. And every fall, we go out and talk to hundreds of people through campaign events. Last fall, we did about 100 events. Trying to encourage them to get involved with the environment.
I have a question just about how it works. Now,
yeah.
So when a company sort of signs on to participate in this, do they give a percent? Or so it's really just the employees that are
giving?
It's
really about the employees. Some companies match their gifts, and they can, you know, designate whether they want that gift to go to all of the groups, or maybe they want a portion sometimes to go towards operations for EarthShare of Georgia, which is also wonderful because we need to grow too. But we generally, our emphasis is on the employees. It really is a way for them to give through their paycheck. And I just want to emphasize too that what we promote is a painless way to give because it's $2 per paycheck you can give and make a difference at the end of the year.
And is it pre-tax?
That's depending on the company.
Okay.
The employer decides that.
Okay.
And then, you know, you can, if let's say you donated even $2 per paycheck every couple of weeks, you know, that's at the end of the year the value of a membership with one of our environmental groups. So we really emphasize trying to reach kind of the average person and people that are not already connected to the environment, although we're finding we're reaching more people who are getting connected to the environment, which is encouraging in many ways. But still, many of them have no idea about the number of environmental groups that are doing great work in Georgia and all that they do.
Well, and in matching too, right?
They can do matching gifts, but you know, we don't see as much of that as I would like. I think we benefit also from what are called multi-state campaigns. For example, the Accenture campaign is managed not in Atlanta, but we have a close relationship with the Atlanta office. So you know, some of those companies do like to do matches, but they're not. It's not consistent all the way through.
Well, and Beth, you know, in terms of media and raising awareness, which is a big part of what we're talking about here, talk about media and new media and the role of new media in sustainability.
Well, Southeast Green is normally, unfortunately, I don't say unfortunately, but a lot of people think of it as a blog. And I don't consider ourselves a blog at all, because a blog implies that I would actually be writing something every day, at least a paragraph, and that rarely happens. I do a lot of tweets, but there's not a lot of writing. What we really do, originally we were going to start out and we were going to write articles, but I had a business partner at the time, and we're not journalists. We're both from a marketing background. And what we realized was there were plenty of people producing material that just wasn't getting posted. You know, the truth is in a magazine or a paper, I mean, there's cost, really inherent cost, which is with a website, there isn't. I can post all day, every day, and we post about 50 articles a week. And so we became sort of an aggregator, but not an aggregator in the sense where you come and you get sent out to other sites, where we're actually posting the articles, and you can come to Southeast Green and get all the information that people want to hear. We regularly help a lot of the organizations, including EarthShare. And then, you know, as things evolve with social media, and I have a reputation as being a very heavy tweeter. So because I'm not a journalist, instead of going to an event and taking notes and writing an article, I just tweet live. So basically you get this running stream on Twitter, and then I come back and compile it into a tweet diary so you can read all the highlights from the event. And then as phones evolved, we started doing video, and we actually have a weekly radio show ourselves. So we really have tried to jump on all the technology and implement it into the site and cover the environmental sustainability and green news in a very unique way.
And talking about that uniqueness, I mean, you do have a unique reputation in the community and how you cover the news. So expand on how that unique niche has been carved out.
Well, I mean, it started off with, you know, being everywhere. I have this reputation of being everywhere. That was not sustainable, let me just tell you that. I tell people that it's a cardboard cutout. They see me at events and it's not really me. But so, you know, I mean, that's the other thing that I think that was sort of a secret, or at least for me it was a secret, is how diverse and robust the environmental community is, especially here in Atlanta. And then with Mayor Franklin and the continuation of Mayor Reed making sustainability such a priority for the city of Atlanta, it was sort of like perfect timing, and exploded. And so there's always plenty of news. And the thing about the other thing we haven't really talked about sustainability is how holistic sustainability is. I mean, I think we've probably said it, but we haven't sort of made that very, it is very holistic. I mean, we cover everything from clean air to clean water to transportation to, you know, electric vehicles to solar to wind to energy efficiency. And I mean, we cover it all. And, you know, agriculture is another part. And a lot of times people leave agriculture out of that. So it's so broad. And that's what Southeast Green has become, is that one place where you can come and you can get that information for your state or for your city, or you just want to see what's happening in the Southeast.
That's excellent.
Yeah, and I would say Southeast Green has done an amazing job getting the word out. I mean, you have really pulled together a lot of information about what's going on in the environment. So I think we're very good partners for what we do.
Well, in talking about that broad, holistic vision, Madeline, why don't you talk about the vision of EarthShare of Georgia?
Well, our vision is very dreamlike. I'm going to say that, because our vision is that we have clean air, clean water, green space, and trees for everyone. I mean, it's just really about not having to worry about environmental issues, not having to worry about our daily health. But we know we can't get there. But you know, a vision statement is always supposed to be a little bit unattainable. And your mission is, of course, what you do every day. And our work is to help, again, help connect businesses, and not only businesses, but even individuals, to the work of our great environmental groups.
And so,
well, I was going to say, Southeast Green has been very honored to partner with EarthShare, and we help support their Earth Month activities, and then we also provide a place where their member organizations know they can get their news out.
Exactly.
So, and yeah, I think that's really important, because you know, somebody said, well, you don't need this kind of site because it's out there on the internet. But if you don't know, if you don't know there's 70 organizations in Georgia, you know, where are you going to find that information? I mean, if you type in clean water Georgia, you're going to be overwhelmed with the number of results.
That's right.
And
that's where
Southeast Green becomes sort of that filter.
And we do that as well. As a matter of fact, one of our member group reps one time said, EarthShare of Georgia is the environmental stamp of approval. So, you know, when you're a member group of EarthShare of Georgia, boy, you really, you're important. You do good work.
And it is important to know who are kind of the trusted organizations that really are giving you the real deal instead of in terms of the news. And an inspiring vision. And while we might not achieve it in our lifetime, we need to all keep shooting for that vision, keeping that in mind. So with that in mind, what can people do to work with both of your organizations to help us all achieve this vision for our planet?
Well, I think information is extremely powerful, and education along with that. I think sometimes we forget that there's a whole field out there of people working to educate young people about the environment. So I would really start there. I would start with young people, and I would also start with going to our website, getting information on the work of our member groups, going to some events, and then deciding how you want to get involved. Of course, if you want to be an armchair environmentalist and you don't really want to volunteer, but you know it's important, you can simply go to earthshareGA.org and make a contribution. And you can decide if you want it to go to specific groups or to go to all of the 70 groups we help support.
Excellent.
And for Southeast Green, I'm just, if you're a business and you're doing sustainability work and you're trying to figure out how to sort of get that news out there, we would highly encourage you to send us your press releases or contact us about being on our radio show. I will warn you, it's not as lively as this. I laugh. It's the geekiest, wonkiest radio show ever.
But so, it's great fun.
So, but we would encourage you to do that. And then we also, you know, get on our newsletter. We send out a newsletter with a summation of all the news so you can really sort of grasp what's going on. And everyone knows that I like a good party. That sort of has been nice about Southeast Green, too. So you also get a lot of information about events and what you can attend and learn more about what's happening in the city of Atlanta and beyond.
Excellent. Well, it's so important for everyone and touches every area of our lives, as you've both stated. Let's make sure we give those websites out. Madeline, the website for EarthShare of Georgia?
It is www.earthshareGA.org.
Excellent.
And
Beth?
Southeast Green is just like it sounds, southeastgreen.com. And it's all one word, Southeast Green.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to tune into the radio show. It sounds like
it's a great show. Yeah, I've been on it once.
Yeah, Madeline's been on a couple times.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you guys coming into the studio today to tell us more about sustainability in Georgia. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Exactly.
Thank you, Dana. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and you've been listening to Burr and Foreman's Results Matter Radio here on Business Radio X, and we will talk to you next week.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.